Hi, I'm Dan Webster, film critic for Spokane Public Radio and blogger for Spokane7.com.
And I'm Mary Pat Truthart, part-time film critic, full-time law professor at Gonzaga University School of Law.
And I'm Nathan Weinbender, also a film critic for Spokane Public Radio and film and music editor for The Inlander.
And welcome to Movies 101, the show that thinks nothing is more real than the images we see dancing across screens, both big and small, which, when you think about it, is kind of sad, except that ultimately we do emerge to confront the light of reality and again face up to the joys and, on occasion, tribulations of real life. That process is pretty much summed up in the films that we saw this past week. On the fantasy side, we watched Bad Boys for Life, the reboot of the comedy action cop series that Michael Bay created way back in 1995. Changing direction 180 degrees, we also watched Just Mercy, the dramatic version of civil rights attorney Bryan Stevenson's first efforts to bring his legal skills to those unjustly convicted of murder. We'll also discuss the HBO documentary True Justice, Bryan Stevenson's Fight for Equality, which explores the real Stevenson's life and work. And finally, we'll give a short preview of the upcoming Spokane Jewish Cultural Film Festival, which will run January 30th, February 1st and 2nd at Gonzaga University's Wolf Auditorium. Let's begin with a bit of banter between Will Smith and Martin Lawrence. In 1995, Michael Bay was known for the many music videos he'd directed for acts as diverse as Donny Osmond and Tina Turner, Vanilla Ice, and the Neville Brothers. All that changed, though, on April 6th, when his first feature film, Bad Boys, premiered. From that point on, Bay was known as an action director, one with a particular penchant for frenetic pacing, snarky, profane-laced humor, incessant gunplay, and exploding cars. And though Bay would go on to direct other blockbuster series, most notably the Transformers franchise, nowhere was his trademark style more on display than in Bad Boys and its 2003 sequel. Now, 17 years later, we have a third offering, Bad Boys for Life. But except for a cameo as an actor playing a, quote, wedding MC, unquote, Bay is nowhere to be seen. Instead, this third segment in the franchise, and yes, a fourth is in pre-production, was co-directed by the Belgian filmmaking duo Adil El Arbi and Bilal Fala. But it's hard to tell that anything has changed other than the thickening features of our aging co-stars Smith and Lawrence, and perhaps the slightly more graphic violence that they engage in. The storyline, such as it is, involves a revenge plot that targets Smith's character of Mike Lowry, and the efforts that he and Lawrence's very married character of Marcus Burnett go to resolve things. Following Bay's lead, women again play a more central role, both as family types and action stars, especially Paola Nunez, who heads a special operations force. But the real draw, as always, is the Smith-Lawrence comic interplay, and of course, the explosions. In the end, no Bay does not mean no play for this franchise.
Oh, very witty, Dan.
Thank you.
So I think now might be the time for people to go finish their sandwiches from lunch, because I cannot be rational about this particular movie or franchise.
The so woman loves Martin Lawrence.
I know. Everything Martin that happens Lawrence. Over the next 3 minutes, you have to totally disregard. So we've seen this before, but it's so interesting that this franchise has been so scattered in terms of, I mean, a 17-year gap. We've seen that occasionally, but this is almost incredible that they have gotten the team back together and added some new players and so forth. Yeah, I cannot, for whatever reason, be rational about this film, because for some reason, Martin Lawrence, I just have to see him and I start cracking up. And there are some lines from this movie that are just so far out there. I can't really say them because
most of them are profane.
Right, exactly. So I'll just say one of them is something along the lines of, you stooped a married witch? I mean, how could you beat a line such as that? But no, I mean, this is exactly what you might expect, except bloodier. And that's one thing I have to give Michael Bay credit for, is he has things blowing up and people being shot and so forth. But his violence is really rarely graphic.
Mostly cartoon violence.
Right. Yeah. It is cartoon violence. And so I actually prefer that in a movie such as this. I'm sure that at least one person sitting in my vicinity is going to disagree. But I think it continues the witty repartee between the two main characters, Marcus and Mike. beautiful shots of Miami. I thought that, you know, it's not Michael Bay, but I think that these filmmakers have taken this in, you know, a slightly different direction. So I had a good time throughout this movie. And we also, because of the weather, had the opportunity to see Bad Boys and Bad Boys 2 again, just to prepare adequately for this.
They're streaming on Netflix.
Yes.
Yeah, because you have to do a lot of research before you go see Bad Boys for Life.
I did. Yeah. So excited about that. And I actually do like Bad Boys 2. I think it's really funny. Again, I know not everyone agrees with that perspective.
Okay, I agree with some of what you're saying, though, surprising to me at least, because this is the first of the three Bad Boys movies where I've actually come close to liking the two bad boys. And so,
you mean the bad men?
Because this is the first movie where I didn't recoil at the sight of them, because that's my problem with the first two Bad Boys movies, is that those two characters, they're just awful people. And the fact that Michael Bay and Jerry Bruckheimer, who of course, you know, has produced all of them. Well, I wouldn't go that far because I don't want, you know, a defamation suit to my name. But I think that detached violence that you talked about, the fact that Michael Bay's violence isn't always bloody or graphic, but it is kind of detached. And to me, that makes it much more stomach churning because he has so little regard for humanity, especially in Bad Boys 2, where entire villages and neighborhoods are just taken out and nobody bats an eye and nobody cares. Whereas in this movie, I think that both Mike and Marcus actually kind of talk about their feelings. They talk about the fact that they're getting older.
It has a heart.
Yeah, it kind of does in a way that I wasn't expecting. And so I guess by default, this is my favorite Bad Boys movie, because I think the first one, which I went back and watched the first one on Netflix, and it's so flimsy that it's really, really dumb. And then I think the second one, despite its sort of post-Edgar Wright hipster cachet, because, you know, they talk about it so much in his movie Hot Fuzz, so it's kind of had this, like, revival in a way. I think that Bad Boys 2 is unwatchable. I think it's awful.
Yeah, I think you were starting to say heinous, but you couldn't quite get it out.
Sure, heinous. Yeah. It's a war crime, that
Yeah,
film.
I think, you know,
but this one is kind of fun.
I think even more important than the actual films themselves, the first two, is the influence Bay had on virtually everything that came afterwards. I mean, Michael Bay has a particular way of making a movie mm-hmm. that many filmmakers, for better or for worse, tried to ape and, you know, didn't do as well or did it in another way. But there's only a few filmmakers over the last century of film that you could say totally changed the way films are made. And Bay is one of them.
Yeah.
It's not for the better, I don't think.
No, I
agree.
I mean, and he kind of came from sort of the John Woo school of action
filmmaking.
That's
what I was going to say. You know? I mean, it's interesting because if you connect sort of what he did to what was happening internationally, mm-hmm. I mean, there's actually a stronger connection in some ways.
There are no doves in Michael Bay movies, though.
No.
Well, but, and you, I mean, also, he came from the world of, as you said, music videos and TV commercials.
So quick cuts.
And quick cuts.
Beautiful imagery. And so you can, blazing color.
And he came out around the same time as David Fincher, who has a lot of the same kind of visual tics in some of his early films.
Just, but who is a master
filmmaker? He loves backlighting stuff for no reason whatsoever. Scenes will just have fog or steam in them for no reason whatsoever. But to get Michael Bay out of here, because this isn't a Michael Bay movie, we have to – I mean, obviously, he does show up in a cameo to remind us
which
that,
was pretty funny,
you know,
actually,
that he started this whole thing with Jerry Bruckheimer back in 1995. I think that this movie, Bad Boys for Life – as an action film, is mostly pretty good. And I don't know about you guys, but I thought of the Fast and Furious movies at some point.
Yes,
because this feels like they're trying to reboot it, because you've got all these younger characters. You've got this bad guy, an actual bad boy, who gets kind of turned at one point.
Right.
And also has, like, really kind of awful gender politics, because the male drug lord gets sympathy from this script, but the female drug lord is a literal witch. And so it's just kind of like, okay, that guy's.
Yeah.
But you've kind of got this intergenerational diverse cast, and they're clearly going to try and give them more adventures from here on out. So and there's an action sequence in the middle that involves a motorcycle gang and a motorcycle sidecar and a freeway on-ramp and a dog and a freeway on-ramp that's under construction that reminded me of the Fast and Furious movies and was in a way that Michael Bay action scenes often aren't, was coherent and fun and had kind of an upbeat vibe about it. The end with the, you know, there's like a fiery inferno and a big like stained glass ceiling that a helicopter falls through. That felt a little more, you know, we've seen that kind of thing before. Maybe not to the sheer, you know, levels of fire and explosions here. But for the most part, I mean, this is okay. I think it's better than the first two. But again, that's not saying all that much, although you're more of a fan of the series and seem to like this one too.
Well, and like I said, it's mainly because for whatever reason, there's just something about Martin Lawrence that I do find particularly amusing. And
it's been a long time since we've enjoyed him on the big screen.
He hasn't been in a movie
in
a long time.
Right.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's something about his timing. He has this sort of innocent look about him. And then his timing, he always has this sort of look of semi-incredulity on his face, especially when dealing with Will Smith's character. But yeah, I mean, I think this to me is a perfect, like, popcorn movie. And,
let's let go as far as perfect.
I didn't say.
You said you used the word perfect. I just want
popcorn.
To say.
Popcorn. Oh, okay. You don't even want me to use it in conjunction in the same vicinity.
Right? I don't want to die on the hill of Bad Boys for Life is all
I'm
saying.
That's right. Let's not get her started because the next thing you know, she'll be calling for a reboot of Big Mama's House.
Okay, if that happens, I'm quitting the show.
And that was Bad Boys for Life. This is Movies 101, and it's time to take a short break. Before we go, remember that you can access podcasts of Movies 101 by going online at SpokanePublicRadio.org. While there, check out the individual reviews that Nathan and I write. Don't do it now, though, because we'll be right back to look at Just Mercy, the documentary True Justice, Bryan Stevenson's Fight for Equality, and to preview the 2020 Spokane Jewish Cultural Film Festival. You're listening to Movies 101 on Spokane Public Radio.
When you consider the future, please consider Spokane Public Radio in your estate plans. Your gift to the SBR Fund for the Future Endowment will ensure that access to real news, meaningful conversations, and great music will continue forever in our communities. One of the most impactful ways listeners can help is through planned gifts. Details are available from the business office at Spokane Public Radio, your tax accountant, attorney, or the Inovia Community Foundation. More information at SpokanePublicRadio.org/membership. And thank you.
And we're back. This is Movies 101, and I'm your host, Dan Webster. During the first half of the show, Mary Pat Toothart, Nathan Weinbinder, and I discuss Bad Boys for Life. Let's now move to a couple of things a bit less fantasy-oriented. First, the legal drama Just Mercy, which stars Michael B. Jordan as real-life civil rights attorney Bryan Stevenson. Then to the HBO documentary True Justice, Bryan Stevenson's Fight for Equality. Before we close, we'll give a short preview of the upcoming Spokane Jewish Cultural Film Festival. The story of how Harvard-educated attorney Bryan Stevenson came to found the Equal Justice Initiative, the Montgomery, Alabama-based legal clinic that serves those unable to afford effective legal counsel, is a natural for the movies. And for the most part, Just Mercy, Destin Daniel Cretton's film study of one of Stevenson's first big cases, both sticks to the basic facts of the story and does so with dramatic efficiency. The film's plot, which was co-written by Cretton and Andrew Lanham and is based on Stevenson's own memoir, involves the struggle Stevenson faced while attempting to free an unjustly accused man from Alabama's death row. Michael B. Jordan, who seems to be everywhere these days, plays the youthful Stevenson, and Oscar winner Brie Larson plays his office manager. But it is the film's other Oscar winner, Jamie Foxx, playing the accused murderer Walter McMillan, who puts in the most memorable performance. The only flaw is Stevenson's closing speech to the court, which feels more like something out of Screenplay Writing 101 than an actual and effective legal argument. But I guess it's hard to match Atticus Finch's moving speech in To Kill a Mockingbird. Yeah. And I mentioned Finch in particular because he's mentioned in the movie,
as is
To Kill a Mockingbird, more than once.
Yeah, because they keep talking about this museum that he needs to go to.
Yeah,
because,
exactly.
That's where Harper Lee was inspired to write To Kill a Mockingbird. And yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think this is a very old-fashioned movie in its style and even in its tone in a lot of scenes, especially in those big speeches that you mentioned. But it's, of course, dealing with contemporary issues. Not that, you know, black men being incarcerated for crimes they didn't commit is a new issue. It's been going on forever. And they talk about it in this film as, you know, they say, well, this is a new way that they can enslave us, essentially. And we've seen documentaries like Ava DuVernay's 13th, which dealt with that very effectively. And so, of course, this movie is very well-meaning. And I think the real footage that they show at the end of some of the other people that Bryan Stevenson has helped free over the years, we actually see them coming out of the courthouse, you know, having been in prison for decades for something they didn't do. I mean, that's really stirring. And of course, you know, we'll be talking about that in the documentary. I think that as a film, though, Just Mercy is just okay. And I think it's because of the kind of big emotional moments that they're going for in those courtroom scenes. And it's really hard to get courtroom movies right, because the courtroom itself isn't the grand theater that the movies have made it out to be. And so sometimes it's difficult for films to actually communicate, you know, the real ins and outs of the legal system without coming across as like a few good men, basically. And this movie has moments like that. I actually think that the most effective sequences are, and you pointed right to it, are the scenes involving Jamie Foxx, to the point where I almost wished he had been the real star of this movie, because the scenes inside the jailhouse I actually found to be really poignant and realistic and hardscrabble in a way that the rest of the movie wasn't. And he's got these two friends inside, played by O'Shea Jackson Jr. and Rob Morgan. And I really liked those two characters. And there's a scene where the Morgan character has to grapple with the fact that he will most likely go to the electric chair. And that sequence is really, really good and really powerful. So, yeah, I think that that's the stuff that works best in this movie. I think that obviously Stevenson is a real life hero, and it's great that mainstream audiences are finally, you know, putting a story to the name. But, yeah, I think that a documentary version of this would in a lot of ways be more powerful than a dramatic version. But again, those scenes with Jamie Foxx are really terrific, and I think they're reason enough to see this movie and to really think about what this movie is about.
Yeah, because after you see this film, I think, you know, you'll wonder maybe why Jamie Foxx did not get an Oscar nomination.
Because there were murmurings of him getting a nomination for Just Mercy, and, you know, it didn't happen ultimately.
Right. And so let's be clear. So Just Mercy was a book, the title of a book that was written by Bryan Stevenson 6 years ago. And so I think anyone who's read the book will appreciate seeing this movie. I agree with you, Nathan. The acting performances across the board were uniformly great. But there's something that's a little made-for-TV movie about it. Reminded me, many years ago, there was a movie made about Gideon's Trumpet, about James Earl Gideon, who was the defendant for whom right to counsel in felony cases was established. And Henry Fonda played James Earl Gideon in this made-for-TV movie. And there are these sort of soaring moments. And occasionally it felt a little bit too close to that. But I think the performances, the underlying issues that are raised are really important and compelling. And even though I wouldn't say this is a great movie, I think it's certainly worth seeing. And I would urge people to consider seeing it.
And that was Just Mercy. Let's now move to the documentary True Justice, Bryan Stevenson's Fight for Equality. HBO is known not just as a repository of great drama, boasting everything from The Sopranos to 6 Feet Under, but it offers a collection of some great entertaining and educational documentaries, too. True Justice, which is a look at the real-life experiences of civil rights attorney Bryan Stevenson and the Alabama-based legal clinic he founded, the Equal Justice Initiative, may not be a great documentary, but it certainly is educational, and it should prove entertaining to those interested both in the American legal system and in matters of justice. Directed by the father-son filmmaking team of Peter George and Teddy Kunhardt, True Justice explores Stevenson's life and times in a way that offers little critical inquiry. That said, because of how Stevenson manages to weave in the whole history of America's relationship to slavery and how that relationship didn't just end but evolved into something nearly as bad, it does add another valuable chapter to the library of justice-themed cinema.
I think that True Justice as a documentary doesn't focus so much solely on Bryan Stevenson's career at Equal Justice Initiative, but sort of follows his career in the sense that his focus more recently, probably being burned out from representing death row inmates in some cases that were particularly lengthy and disappointing and so forth. I think that this, the focus of the documentary is really on equality and is really on issues of mass incarceration and things that the Equal Justice Initiative is focusing on now. So Dan and I had the opportunity to go to Montgomery, six months ago and see the memorial for peace and justice that was established there. And that plays a part in this particular documentary. So I think it's definitely worth seeing. So it's available on HBO. But more important, you can see it at the law school as part of the Social Justice Film Festival on February 18th, Tuesday night at 6 p.m. We'll repeat that again closer to the time. But I think that there are issues worth discussing that this documentary brings to the fore.
That's right. And that was the documentary True Justice, Brian Stevenson's Fight for Equality. Let's close by taking a quick look at the lineup featured at this year's Spokane Jewish Cultural Film Festival, which will screen January 30th and February 1st and 2nd at Gonzaga University's Wolf Auditorium, which is in the Jepson Center. And I want to say that on January 30th is the documentary Fiddler, A Miracle of Miracles, which is a really terrific documentary about the legacy, about the making of Fiddler on the Roof, and about the people who did it, including interviews with just about everybody in the musical, Broadway musical industry. It's a terrific documentary.
And again, that's playing Thursday, January 30th at 7 p.m. Then you can check out on Saturday, February 1st at 7 p.m., a movie called The Light of Hope, which is a 2017 Spanish film, a true story about a nurse named Elizabeth Eidenbez, who helped Jewish refugees in the 1940s. Again, that's playing February 1st at 7 p.m. And then the festival closes out on Sunday afternoon, February 2nd, with a film called The Unorthodox. It's another narrative film about Jewish orthodoxy in the 1980s in Jerusalem. And that is playing at 2 p.m. on Sunday, February the 2nd.
Yeah, and I think that the Spokane Jewish Cultural Film Festival is always such a great addition to the community. And please know that before the screening on Thursday, January 30th, the Meshuggah Daddies band will be playing.
Playing klezmer and, music.
Yes, yep. Exactly. So it's a whole event. So we really encourage people to come out for that.
And we've seen some really good and unexpected movies.
Over the years, some of the best movies that I've seen throughout the year are at this very festival. And they're movies that you usually won't get a chance to see in any other way.
Right.
And please know that you can get tickets in advance online at sajfs.org. We hope to see you there.
And that was our preview of this year's Spokane Jewish Cultural Film Festival. And this is Movies 101. I'm Dan Webster, and earlier in the show, Nathan Weinbinder, Mary Pat Truthart, and I discussed Bad Boys for Life, the legal drama Just Mercy, and the documentary True Justice, Brian Stevenson's Fight for Equality. Let's take this moment to thank Peter Glarborg for both producing and engineering the show, and we thank you to our loyal listeners, and we invite you back next week, same time, same spot in the radio dial, when we'll again tackle the world of contemporary cinema. Until then, remember these words from attorney Brian Stevenson. Each of us is more than the worst thing we've ever done. You're listening to Movies 101 on Spokane Public Radio.
The Movies 101 podcast is made possible by the members of Spokane Public Radio. Become a member at SpokanePublicRadio.org. Thanks for listening to Movies 101.